Of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the June-July issue of Southern Living magazine. This week, we will hear from the kitchen section, Shindig's. Different spins on some hot dogs for you. And from the home section, a backyard garden with lots of gardening tips. All right, are we ready? The cover of this magazine is it's a background of a light blue blue and white pinstripe tablecloth. Or actually, that's a cloth napkin over a white wooden picnic table. In the background, and in the upper left-hand corner, bleeding off the edge of the corner of the cover, are a couple of peaches with green leaves on them, golden peaches, for a grilled peach cobbler that we discussed in one of our last episodes, which you can find as a podcast on our website. Okay, back to our cover. It's in the foreground is a casserole plate. It's a teal or a light blue, robin's egg blue handles on this casserole plate. The insides of it are white. And inside is our grilled peach cobbler, just golden, looks like golden flakes or golden crust of some kind. And the peach is interspersed. And also three white scoops of vanilla ice cream sit upon it, and it's melting into the grilled peach cobbler. And there's also a peach-colored cloth napkin beneath on the bottom of the cover, beneath the casserole plate, and bleeding off the bottom of the cover. And an ice cream scooper as well. And the cover from top to the print from top to bottom. Southern Living, and that's in a tomato red print. Taste of summer, peach desserts, chocolate pie, and other sweet delights. The veggie garden of your dreams, a Carolina house escape, next level grilling recipes, plus, that's a sunny yellow plus sign, plus mountain magic in North Georgia. I think we covered most of those in, or if not all, in our prior episodes. Okay, and today, let's get first to Shindig's, to the kitchen, Shindig's, three spins on hot dogs that are bursting with flavor. Okay. It says, Dog Days, three spins on a summertime favorite that are bursting with flavor. And these are recipes, and the first one is for a Viet Cajun style hot dogs. So, and listeners, there is a photo of it on this page. There's a full page photo, actually, and it takes a little more than half the page that we're reading with our recipes. And upon that, it's watermelon colored. The table seems to be of a watermelon color, very pale. I'm on a deeper watermelon color. Large plaid tablecloth fabric, and it's the textures. It's very very thick, so it's very textured. And there are also some watermelon napkins, watermelon colored napkins that are they're light pink, and the deeper watermelon pink. An abstract print of some sort. That they're flowers, impressionistic flowers, kind of. And upon those are slices of watermelon. That's just that are just about the same color. And we have our Viet Cajun style hot dogs on this table, and they are sitting upon a round plate that's Tuscan. It's got a porcelain plate that's gray, and it has a rim of a terracotta with some inlaid mica stones. Those are those very smooth black and silver mica stones that are shiny and smooth to the touch. Those are around the edge, the rim of this plate. All right, now, the important part, what's on the plate? Apart from potato chips, which are on there, accompanying this Viet Cajun-style hot dog. So it's a hot dog bun, and you can see a hot dog in it, and the hot dog is topped with the garnish of some greens. It looks like mint and onions, but why don't we just read the recipe to really see what it is? Oh, and also, just to the right of this, listeners, is a strawberry frosé. It's a drink in a wine glass. Oh, it's not a drink. It's layered. Seems to be ice cream and Slurpee layered with a strawberry. Let's see if we can get to that recipe today, too. It's in a wine glass, and it's got a strawberry that's cut so that it is sitting atop the rim of the glass, and the glass are alternating layers of strawberry, red, and pink, pale pink cream of some sort. Okay, back to our Viet Cajun-style hot dogs recipe. Here it is. The active time is, and it's Viet-Cajun. So the active time is 30 minutes. The total time is 1 hour. And it serves 8. The ingredients are a half cup of matchstick carrots, 3 radishes cut into matchsticks, about a half a cup, a half a cup of seasoned rice vinegar, 1 jalapeno chili halved, seeded, and thinly sliced, a half a teaspoon of grated lime zest, plus 1 tablespoon of fresh juice divided from 1 lime, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh cilantro, plus more for garnish. Oh, so that was that garnish that we saw. Cilantro. 1 tablespoon of chopped fresh mint, plus more for garnish. So there was mint to it. All right, and 2/3 of a cup of mayonnaise. Oh, and 2 tablespoons of sriracha chili sauce, 2 12-ounce packages of Andalee sausage links. I did not pronounce that right. Andouille, I guess it is sausage links. And 8 brioche hot dog buns. Toasted. Here are your 2 steps. 1, stir together carrots, radishes, vinegar, jalapeno, and lime zest in a bowl. Cover and chill for 30 minutes. Drain the carrot mixture. Stir in cilantro and mint. Set aside. Stir together mayonnaise, sriracha, and lime juice in a separate bowl and set that aside. Step 2. Place the andouille in a large cast iron skillet. That's the sausage. Over medium. Cook, turning occasionally, until lightly charred and heated through. 10 to 15 minutes. Place 1 sausage link in each bun and top with carrot slaw, and drizzle with mayonnaise mixture, and garnish with herbs. And the next is Alabama hot dogs, which might also be pictured here upon the table. There is a tray of 3 hot dogs, and they're hot dog buns and thick hot dogs or sausages inside them. And they've got some green, looks like parsley, lots of carrot, appears to be the same carrot slaw upon them. But there seems to maybe be some cheese. It looks as though there's some creamy cheese in here, too. And they are sitting upon those white paper plates, so to speak. They're ersatz plates, those little plates you might get when you order a hot dog. So it's not a full plate, it's just made for hot dogs. It's a little hot dog paper plate, just this it's oblong, and it's crinkled on either of the short edges, the top and bottom, so to speak, of the hot dog. Here is the recipe for Alabama hot dogs. The active time is 15 minutes, and the total time is 25 minutes, and it serves 8. Preheat grill to medium high, 400 to 450 Fahrenheit. Stir together 1 cup of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 1 teaspoon each horseradish, pepper, and Worcestershire sauce, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, and 1/2 teaspoon each salt and hot sauce in a bowl. Grill 8 7-inch long hickory smoked sausages, uncovered, turning often until lightly charred, which is about 6 minutes. Divide among the 8 buns. Top with mayonnaise mixture and pickle relish. And there's a photo of that on the side in that same kind of terracotta porcelain plate we talked about. And these are all served with potato chips of one sort or another. Some are smooth and some are crinkled. Potato chips on the side. Here are some... is a recipe for, excuse me, bacon-wrapped hot dogs. And this serves 8. The active time is 30 minutes. The total time is 30 minutes. Tightly wrap 8 beef hot dogs with 8 slices of center-cut bacon, 1 each. Cook in a large cast iron skillet over medium, turning occasionally until the bacon is crispy, about 18 minutes. Meanwhile, stir together 1 cup of pico de gallo and 1/4 cup of chopped cilantro in a bowl. Set that aside and then divide bacon-wrapped hot dogs among 8 buns. Drizzle with yellow mustard. Top with pico de gallo mixture and pickled jalapeno slices, if desired. And that's it for our hot dogs, our new spin on hot dogs and sausages. So let's get to that strawberry frosé. And this, again, it seems to be served in a wine glass. Well, I'm calling it a wine glass, I suppose. Some people would call that a dessert glass. And again, it's layered, the photo at least is layered with a slurpy-looking strawberry red substance with some creamy, lighter strawberry pink, like blush-colored cream. And there's a strawberry that's cut so that it is sitting atop the rim of the glass. Strawberry frosé, and it's F-R-O-S-E with an accent as it's spelled. And this is Cheers to Summer. Cool off with this frosty cocktail, strawberry frosé. Combine 1 750-milliliter bottle of dry rosé wine, 1 cup of thawed strawberries in syrup, and 2 tablespoons of vodka in a 1-gallon Ziploc plastic freezer bag. Seal the bag. Freeze until almost solid, 4 to 6 hours. If desired, spoon the mixture into a blender and blend until smooth. Pour into 4 glasses and garnish with fresh strawberries. The active time is 5 minutes, and it's a total of 4 hours. And 5 minutes to prepare. And it serves 4. Now, after all that cooking, we're going to go outside. This is in the at-home section of the magazine, Beautiful Spaces for a Better Life. Happy Place. This is in the backyard's garden section. Happy Place. When warm weather arrives, there's only one spot Katie Jacobs and her young family want to be. Their lively garden in Brentwood, Tennessee. And this is a full-page photo we have here. And the caption is, A Sunny Escape. The windowed garden room in a is a sanctuary and a phone-free zone. So this is, we are on the outside of this room looking in. So it seems to be, it's kind of an enclosed porch is what it is. But of course, it's called a garden room. As they, and the reason is, it is surrounded by greenery. And, well, first of all, the porch, it's glass. It's enclosed by paned glass, like eight. The windows are all, each one, four panes each in the glass. And all across the top is one whole windowed with several paned, smaller panes of glass. And there are French doors, glass again, of those paned windows. Oh, and they're white. They're, the wood of the that divides the glass panes is white, like an off-white color. And almost like a creamy, a cafe au lait color. And it's the roof of the garden is a bamboo color wood. And then above is a peaked roof, pitched roof with two windows. Again, and the windows to the house there are that same four-paned windows. And they are flanked by southern shutters, plantation shutters, I think they're called, if they're still called that. And they are opened on each side, on the outside of the roof. And back down on the ground here, we have, I imagine it is Katie Jacobs. She's a woman standing with long blonde hair, and she's holding a white, wide-brimmed hat, and she's wearing a long dress. And the dress is white, and it's got puffy short sleeves. And interestingly, it has black lines that sort of mimic the paned windows. Kind of a graphic like that. That's all lines of vertical and across that seem to mimic the windows around her. And she has a happy smile on her face. And she's wearing, they're green garden boots, it seems, as though they are, or rain boots. And she's standing right at the threshold of those French doors of this garden room or glassed-in porch there. And all we can see, where the two French doors are open upon a table, a pedestal table. It's not too close. So there is a vase, a big, large pitcher, jar on top. And in that, a huge bouquet of cut elephant ears. Do you know, they're caladiums also. I think there's a difference between those two plants, but this is not close enough for us to discern which it is. But they are those huge heart-shaped leaves that are spring green with some white mixed in. And there's a lantern above, a lantern light hanging from the ceiling, and three abstract prints of sunny gold and olive green with golden frames that are just behind there on the white clapboard. It appears to be the white clapboard of the outside of the house that forms one wall of this otherwise glass-walled garden room. And then there's also a spiky plant of some sort, green thin leaves, that over in the corner, and another plant in the other corner, but it's through a window. Can't see it too well. But in the foreground, listeners, is, apart from the green grass and a little bit of soil just before the threshold, and there is a huge watering can on the threshold as well, there is so much greenery, I can't discern exactly what kind it is, but it is very, very, very textured. You could almost feel it kind of crinkly, sharp, but not hurtfully sharp. Just very crinkly, very textured green. It's an evergreen of some sort. Yes, it's an evergreen of some sort. Maybe we'll find out when we read about it. But this covers the entire porch except for the two windows on the side, the two windowed walls in the front on the side. But it does go up to the one over the top of the threshold. And it does go across and then down in columns that come from the ground. It's not all one plant, but it does appear to be so. And it's got very tiny, very green leaves on it. Okay, so let's read about this garden. One summertime, Katie Jacobs' yard. Oh, excuse me, I didn't see the big C here. Come summertime, Katie Jacobs' yard is something of an Eden. Tall rows of corn and sunflowers reach toward the sky. Raised beds burst with candy-colored zinnias, and climbing vines hang heavy with miniature green-striped watermelons. But that wasn't the case 4 years ago. We couldn't grow grass behind our garage because it gets full sun there. So it was this dead area, recalls the author and stylist. Frustrated, she and her husband, Brent, shifted their efforts to crafting something that would thrive in the abundant sunshine, a vegetable garden. There was just one catch. Despite their familial legacies, he hails from cattle farming folk, and her mother and grandmother cultivated flowers. The couple had absolutely no gardening know-how of their own. And there's a picture on this next page that says, plant companions for your crops. Zinnias are the easiest flowers of all time to grow, says Katie. They bloom all summer long, and they're such bright pops of color. But they're not just for show. The bees come for the flowers, and that's what helps you produce more vegetables. It totally goes hand in hand, she notes. The blooms are so fun. That's my favorite part. But they really help support the ecosystem of the vegetable garden. And there's a photo of these pink zinnias. They're like a mauve color almost. Yes, they are. And they do look like little sunbursts, each of them. And then there's a photo of Katie Jacobs and a man. We should just see his back with a hat and a light blue shirt and brown trousers on. And he's got kind of I guess it's a gardening hat on. And she is with her two, apparently daughters, two young girls. They are also wearing gardening boots. One has brown hair and the other has blonde hair. We don't see their faces too well. But the older appears to be about 10. And she's got on a white blouse and denim shorts. And she's holding a basket that holds some greens. And the other little girl has on a pink dress. And she is accepting a cup of flowers from her mother, who has bent down toward her. And there is a white fence, a white, can't call it, it's not a picket fence, it's a high fence. It's a good 4 or 5 inches, feet high. And there are gates that are open to us, a barn fence, actually. And we can see the sunflowers beyond and the zinnias in this garden, and some steps and lots of trees, overhanging trees. We'll see what they are hopefully later on. I won't torture you with guesses here of my own, but there are, it's evergreen, so you can almost feel them flowing in the breeze. They're very leafy, lush, and then there's a little white shed in the photo as well. And there are mostly flowers here in this garden. Okay. They started small with four raised beds, fencing them in to keep out deer and other wildlife. We brought in some gravel and dirt and unloaded every shovel of it ourselves. We didn't want to spend a lot of money because we weren't sure if it was going to work or not, she recalls. To their delight, their first attempts with herbs, zinnias, tomatoes, and yellow squash thrived. This early success spurred the introduction of sunflowers and corn the next season. And now, 4 years later, their fruitful plot spills over with all kinds of produce and flowers, including blackberries, cosmos, green beans, eggplants, and a handful of apple trees, among other things. Over time, the space has become a sort of sanctuary for the pair and their three young children, a magical escape where harried schedules and screens are happily forgotten. We constantly say it is the best thing we have ever done for our family, notes Katie. Our kids have seen a patch of dead grass become this beautiful garden with hard work and a lot of passion. They're out there with us every day with their hands in the dirt, smashing bugs and picking vegetables for dinner. They see the trials firsthand when a windstorm comes through and knocks down all the flowers, when insects take over a crop, or when we run out there to cover plants before a frost. We have built this incredible thing together, and they take just as much pride in it as Brent and I do. And there's a little column note here that says, be fearless with failure. I always tell people not to be intimidated. Just plant something. If you never plant anything, nothing's going to grow. You can start with a $3 packet of seeds, she says. When stakes are low, it's easier to shake off the inevitable flops with good humor. We tried kiwi 2 years ago. I tended to the freaking kiwi all summer, watered it for 200 days, and we never got one, says Katie, laughing. Maybe Middle Tennessee is not the epitome of zones to grow it. So we won't do that again. And listeners, we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll join us next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time.